You're listening to episode 281 of Women Worldwide. How much do you focus on self-care? And does your self-care take a backseat when there's more challenges and uncertainties in your world? I've got a guest today who has a lot to share on this topic, so stay tuned to learn more. Hi, I'm Deirdre Breckenridge. I've spent an entire career helping women to share stories, nurture relationships, grow their brands, but most of all, to find their voices so they can make a difference. Do you feel stuck? Do you want to power up your own voice? Women Worldwide features the stories of passionate women who have navigated big career challenges and some of the toughest changes. These professionals offer deep insights and advice to inspire you and to help you uncover what's holding you back. Let Women Worldwide ignite your passion so you can excel in life. Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Women Worldwide. Thank you so much for tuning in, for showing up, and for always sharing how you're feeling and how you're doing. We appreciate this, and we will continue to deliver the guests who share their stories, advice, and tips for you. Because remember, you are not in this alone. Now, I want to get right to today's topic and special guest. The topic is self-care, which is really important right now. We are navigating a new normal. And when there are challenges and there's uncertainty and your energy is thrown in all of these different directions, you get off balance, and that's natural and normal. And I know for me, sometimes when I'm off balance, guess what? Self-care takes a back seat and you can't let this happen. So this is the perfect segue to my guest today. Joining me on the show is Jennifer Loudon. And Jennifer is a personal growth pioneer. She actually helped to launch the concept of self-care with her book that debuted in 1992 called The Woman's Comfort Book. And Jennifer has done many things over the course of her career. She is a speaker, an educator, and an entrepreneur. And she has been offering retreats for women for over 25 years. So Jennifer, I'm so glad to have you on my show. Welcome.
Oh, it's my pleasure to be here and talk about how do we take care of ourselves, especially right now. Oh my God.
Right. And it's so typical almost that when so many things are going on, or, you know, emotions are running high and we're running in all these different directions, that self-care takes a back seat and we can't let it happen. So that's why I'm so glad you were on the show. But before we get to all of your advice and tips, maybe you can just offer, why did you choose this path? Why self-care?
Well, I wrote my first book in 1992, The Woman's Comfort Book, because I really had no concept of what self-care was. And actually, there's a story about the writing of the book in my newest book, which is Why Bother? Discover the Desire for What's Next. So there you go. There's two bookends there. And that story really was, I wanted to be a successful screenwriter more than anything. I went to film school. I wanted to be a big deal. I wanted to be a big deal screenwriter. And I was terribly unhappy and terribly blocked, and just in my life was so small and so dry, and this little voice in my head would keep saying, you need to take a break from writing, you need to take care of yourself, you need to take care of yourself. And I would say, yes, we all have it, right? And we all do this. Yeah. When? And for me, it was when I finished a screenplay and sold it for a lot of money. And for other people, it might be when your children are a certain age, when the pandemic gets sorted out, when your mom, you move her to memory care. You know, there's always a when then. And I finally really listened to that voice, to cut to the chase. And it was very, very frightening. It's frightening to listen to what we really need. We feel like the world is going to fall apart, whether it's a story of taking care of others or ambition or, you know, taking care of others in our coaching practice or our business or our colleagues. But when I really, really listened, two things happened. One, I felt such a great sense of surrender. And two, the title for that book popped into my head as clearly as if you said it to me today, Deirdre. And so I began this process of what does it mean to take care of yourself? And I spent a couple of years writing that book. And then I wrote a number of other books just exploring this concept because it seems so simple, right? Self-care seems so simple,
but I guess
it's not.
Really, can you maybe share what are those first few things that you can do that maybe don't seem as scary that at least can put you on the road to self-care?
That's a great question. That is a great question. Well, first of all, I think self-care has become a $2 billion industry, which was certainly not true in 1992. And so it's often conflated or confused with things that are supposed to be just relaxing or, you know, flowy yoga clothes and scented candles. All of that's great if that appeals to you. But most self-care that is going to make a difference in your life is incredibly not sexy and probably doesn't cost very much of anything. Like exercise, like the glass of water I always have next to me. So I think the place you want to start are what I write about in the new book, Why Bother? What are your minimums? What are the minimum things that you need to not snap people's heads off? To, you know, you and I were talking about sleep, that we both need a cold room to sleep in. That's one of our minimums. They're so easy to overlook. So if we start there, there can be both a sense of, okay, well, that's not that big of a deal. Maybe I can do that. That's pretty straightforward. But also there's this great sense of honoring ourselves, right? Honoring ourselves by saying, honey, I know that you're cold if I turn the air conditioning down or I open the windows or I turn the fan on, but you can get a blanket and I can't. This is the only way that I can sleep. And in that, we really can have a deeper sense of honoring ourselves.
That's really funny because it took me a while to
ask for
honor
that.
Myself and say to my husband, no, I need that fan on high, even though your eyeballs are getting stuck
to your head.
And get a blanket.
Yeah, we had that conversation this morning. And sometimes I go downstairs and sleep on the first floor of our house where it's much cooler. And my husband will be like, I'm going to miss you. And I'm like, that's nice, but I need to sleep. Right?
That is fantastic. You know, a lot of this seems like it's the things that are very close to you and making your body feel better. What about things exterior? You had said something very important about kind of not getting those notifications on your laptop. How much does that play a part? Technology.
It's huge. There's no evil overlord in an office building somewhere trying to make technology that makes us crazy, but it is the way it has been designed. So all technology that you're interacting with, especially things like Facebook and Netflix and Instagram and, you know, the news sites, they're made to keep you there.
Right.
They're made to keep your brain going. I'm going to find the thing I really need in just a second. So that's that kind of searchy, clingy feeling you get, and you can't break away. And one of the things that people will set you up for is, oh, it's just willpower. If you just have willpower, you could turn off the Netflix. Have you ever noticed how hard it is to turn off the next episode? They make it really hard. And they just
have it.
Because they want you to keep watching. So you have to build in systems to turn off technology, whether it's a timer across the room.
Right.
You know, you're like, okay, God, I got to get up. The timer's going off. Okay. Whether it's a friend texting you and saying, are you still on Netflix? whether it, you know, I use internet blocking software a lot. And you and I were talking about not having any notifications go off during this interview. I keep all of those off all the time. I don't get anything on my phone. I don't, you know, you can strip all of that away from your life. And you can take things off your phone, make it harder. In other words, look for every way it can make it harder for you to get caught in that and not rely on willpower because your willpower is not strong enough because your brain is built to keep looking for that next hit of dopamine, basically.
So Jennifer, do we consciously try not to have self-care? Like, what would prevent somebody from saying, I need self-care, I want to do this, and I want to have a regimen? It's not just a one day you wake up and you're not getting notifications, and the next day you just fall back into your pattern. So what stops us from doing something that's so good?
Well, some of it is the way our brains have evolved. They've evolved to look for, how do we belong to the community? How did we belong? Because if we didn't belong, we died. So there, we are, our brains are going to default to self-criticism. They're going to default to doing for others, especially perhaps, and this is up for grabs science-wise, the female brain. May or may not be true. But we're definitely, as women, enculturated to put others first. So we really have to have a sense of humor about the fact that it's hard for us to take care of ourselves. The last thing we want to do is add guilt to the fact that we're not taking care of ourselves. Because, my friends, that will send us the exact opposite way. You will be watching Netflix forever because you're going to try to soothe the feeling of guilt, right?
Right.
I'm not taking care of myself. I'm a bad person. And then we fail at that. So no, don't do that. Instead, we need to have a sense of, oh, I'm so adorable. There I did 4 episodes of Schitt's Creek again. Oh my God, that is hysterical. When I was going to go get some exercise and talk to my sister and work on that watercolor painting. And then we start to notice our patterns and not expect them to go away, especially during a stressful time like this. We're all going backwards, right? My girlfriends and I have all been talking about all the habits that we've thought we never would do again that we're doing, because that's what happens to your brain when you're this much uncertainty.
Right. Yeah. Your brain goes into that survival mode.
It goes back to the
programs.
Yeah, it goes back to where it last felt stable, is a way to think about it.
Yeah. So yeah. That's really interesting. The way that you reframed the, oh, you know, I watched.
It's so adorable.
That's also, you know, your thoughts play into this as well.
Oh, yes.
So if you have positive thoughts, even if you weren't particularly focused on your self-care, it still helps you to reverse a feeling, to not have. As you said, the other thing is the reward. I think that women are especially hard on themselves. What about those little rewards that you could just recognize and notice, and they power you up to do it again and again? Does that help?
It does. The research is really, really clear that on anything that we do that isn't tangible. So a tangible thing is I folded the laundry. A tangible thing is I built a birdhouse. A tangible thing is I ran 2 miles. Anything that we can't sort of see and measure, our brains are going to default to, I don't think that really mattered, unless we stop and celebrate it, unless we measure it in some way. So you could start some basic things that you track in self-care, you know, in a little journal or on your calendar, trying to help yourself see it and then take 15 seconds to say, I did it. I did what I said I would do. I only watched 1 episode of Schitt's Creek, and instead I worked, you know, I watched my watercolor video and, you know, did something that really filled me up. Yay, I did it. It's
That's
really
an interesting
important.
Use of the journal. To be able to jot down, I did it. You know, I participated in self-care today. You know, when you do these retreats that I mentioned in the introduction, is this a way to celebrate self-care? Is that what it's about? Or is it more really taking somebody and saying, this is what self-care means and what it is, and here's how you do it? What does their retreat look like?
Yeah, the deepest thing that happens at my retreats is women being able to ask themselves one very simple, powerful question that I have seen change people's lives over and over again over the years. And it's, what do I want? Mm. And having a space that is set aside where, instead of you going, yeah, what do I want? Oh yeah, like, right, that's going to happen. First, I'm going to go do those 17 things. There's not the 17 things to do. So it's like, what do you want in front of the beautiful breakfast buffet, right? Do you want those maple scones? Do you want the eggs? Do you want to come to this program that I'm teaching? Or do you want to go for a walk? Do you, you know, everything is fluid.
Oh,
and that's where the deep work happens, because it brings up fear. It brings up, am I making the right choice? It brings up, what do I want? Who am I to want something? So that's really the deep level of self-care. for sure.
That sounds really good. Jennifer, after you, and this is for anybody out there who's listening, you know, after you immerse yourself in this type of program or any kind of learning program, how do you keep it going? I find that everybody gets so jazzed when they're in the moment and they're with other people and they open up their frame of reference and their thinking and their deep thinking. But then you go back right into that studio of what you were doing before. How do you move it forward?
You don't. You don't.
Well, that was not the answer I expected.
you don't keep it. A retreat, a deep meditation session, a wonderful, you know, Sunday morning in church. It's elevated. You see what's possible, but then you go back into your life. And if you bring 10% with you, if you bring 2% and you make it part of your everyday life, you have moved ahead. And that's what we have to understand as humans. We do not change in leaps and bounds occasionally, but usually what we have is the epiphany.
Yes.
Da-da-da-da, and then we have to operationalize it. And that means, you know, who hasn't gone to church and then on the way home had a big fight with their spouse on the drive home? Or who hasn't gone on a meditation retreat or a yoga retreat or a desire retreat with me and then gone home and had, you know, I have one
meltdown.
Yeah, I have a woman who comes to my retreats almost every year, and she has a severely disabled daughter who was born disabled, but then unfortunately had two horrible malpractice happened for her. So she's much more disabled. And this woman knows that she's not going to go back. And for her, it's like, it's a timeout. It's a remembrance.
Right.
And I hold her up as the example for all of us. So the idea is to have a lot of mercy and go, okay, you know, I do writing retreats also. Like, okay, I'm going to go home and I'm going to write for 5 hours every day. I'm like, stop it. Do not do that to yourself. You're going to go home and maybe write for an hour, maybe a half hour, maybe 15 minutes. Maybe you'll finish this project and you'll never write anything again. That doesn't matter.
No pressure.
Yes. What matters is that
we're
yes. And what matters is that are we fully being ourselves? You know, are we embracing this life? That's what I'm interested in.
Yes. Now that's so important. Jennifer, what's maybe one moment, I'm sure you've had many, but is there a moment that stands out for you, either an aha or an uh-oh, that really has made you grow and to embrace who you are today?
Oh, there's a lot of stories of those uh-oh moments in the new book, but the one in particular is when my now husband asked me to marry him unexpectedly on a yoga and meditation retreat in Guatemala, and I couldn't say yes. I had been fantasizing about asking him to buy the house next door because I was so afraid. It was my second marriage. Lots and lots of story behind that. Again, it's in the book.
That's a really good book.
So much fear of really being seen and being loved. And when the end of that trip, we were in a hotel room at the Dallas airport. And he said to me, look, just let's not tell anyone I asked you. I don't want the kids to know. I don't want your mom to know. I don't want my parents to know. I don't want anyone to know. We'll just pretend it never happened. And I looked in front of me, and I don't want to say I hallucinated. It wasn't that clear. But there was this moment, and I was sitting on the bed, and he was across the room putting his shoes on. And I saw two paths in front of me. And I saw a path that went into literally the light. It was just full of life. And the other path went to this very beautiful but very lonely life where I would control everything and no one would need to see me or know me. And I realized I could choose. I could choose. And I yelled across the room at him, okay. And he went, okay. And that was, 7 years ago. I think we're coming up on our
wonderful
12 years together, but 7 years of marriage. Yeah.
Oh, you made your choice in the light.
I made my choice, and it was a good choice. It wasn't an easy choice, but it was a good choice, and we're very happy. So that was definitely a big moment for me.
It's a huge moment. So with all the self-care that you know and understand and you apply to yourself and you help others, are there any challenges that you're still navigating? I know our listeners, our viewers always want to hear about those challenges and how you overcome.
Oh, yes. I'm challenged all the time. I've found things have really fallen apart for me during the pandemic. Yeah. That a lot of my morning ritual is much harder for me to do. It's harder for me to meditate. I have this sort of a little bit of sense of, well, just whatever, which is hysterical given the title of my book, Why Bother? A little, but there's also a sweetness to it. Like there's also this feeling that this is sort of this time out of time.
Yes.
And there's a way to sort of, especially this summer, to savor it. I think the biggest challenge for me pretty consistently in my life around self-care is not working too much. I love my work. I sit here in this chair. I call it assume the position. And I get in here and I'm like, okay, today's going to be different. I'm going to set my timer. I'm going to take more stretch breaks. I'm going to go outside. And then another day goes by. So that's a real challenge for me is trying to, and I just, it's so much I have to say to myself, oh, you're so adorable, instead of beating myself up, because this is something I've been working on for years. And the progress, as I said earlier, is so slow, right? And my husband will say, yes, you're making progress. And so last weekend, I'm very proud of myself. I took off Friday and Monday and we went up high in the mountains and camped and I'm really working on it. And I'm working on surrounding myself with people who aren't driven all the time, right? And my husband's great for that. He's much more balanced.
Wow. So, well, you're putting action steps in place. So
little by little.
We are similar creatures because I love what I do. But I, too, could sit myself right here and say, yes, I need more stretch breaks during the day and different things, but I'd be perfectly happy just diving in and then you go, and what? It's dinner time? So I hear you. Baby steps.
Baby steps and a lot of acceptance of how hard it is to change some of the things because it's the way we're wired.
Right. That's right. Understanding yourself and giving yourself the room to grow, I think. Mm-hmm. Just recognizing that. Well, Jennifer, I can't even believe I'm ready to ask you the advice question, even though you've given so much advice already. Maybe if you could just give a little bit of parting advice to all the Women Worldwide listeners and viewers, what would you say about self-care and comfort and how they can get started on this path?
I believe life is always offering us more, a chance to be more alive, a chance to be more connected, more creative, to give back. Like there's just always more. But we can't partake of that more if we're not taking care of ourselves. And too often I see these very basic things that we're not doing, enough sleep, making sure we're taking our supplements, getting enough exercise, drinking enough, like really boring things are keeping us from more. And do you want that? It's not about being perfect, but it's, can you do more of this basic self-care? Again, not sexy, doesn't have to cost a lot of money or anything, so that you can have more of what you really want. Can you connect the two?
Yeah, I mean, it sounds so simple.
It does. Remind me of that when I don't get up in an hour.
I know, when I forget to take my supplements. You just eat something. Like, how do you forget to take your supplements? It's so simple. You can't forget. Excellent, excellent advice, Jennifer. And last question, super easy. Where can people find out more about you, your work, and of course your books, especially your new book?
Yes, it's at jenniferlowden.com. And if you sign up there, we send you the first chapter of the new book for free. So you can test it out, see if it's something you want.
Awesome. And can people connect with you on social media too?
Yep, I'm on Facebook. We're taking a little bit of a pause right now because there's a Facebook ad boycott. So
yes, in July.
Yep. So July, we're still there, but we're not very much. And on Instagram, and it's Jen Loudon or Jennifer Loudon. If you search for me, you'll find me, or Jennifer Loudon Writer, I think.
Awesome. Thank you so much for sharing your journey, your tips, your advice. really appreciate your time, all of your insights.
I loved your questions. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. And thank you to all of you for tuning in. And please keep the feedback coming. We're here. We are listening. You can always tweet me. I'm at Dee Breckenridge. Or email me, Deirdre, at pureperformancecom with 2ms.com. Thank you all. And until our next episode, stay healthy, focused, energized, and feeling empowered. Thank you.